your first friend request would be that guy Tom, I think his name was.
Yeah, what's MySpace?
Just kidding. What's MySpace?
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Michelle Jensen. I'm the CEO of Nerd Out App, based in Burbank, California, and you're listening to the Women in Tech Show.
Woo! Give me five.
There we go.
Yeah! All right. What does Nerd Out App mean to you?
I think it just gives people opportunity to connect. I was the new kid when I was little, when I moved from California to New York, and then I was the new kid again when I moved from New York back to California. So I kind of know what it's like to not have friends. When I first started my first year of college, like, it took me a while to make friends. And the fact that Nerd Out App kind of gives you the help to potentially go meet people and make those friends is the most important part of the app to me.
And what does Nerd Out App do?
It's a free nerd event calendar app, so it lists all kinds of events, everything from San Diego Comic-Con to lightsaber battles to geek girl brunch to game nights to crazy things like, you know, burlesque shows.
And this is your first app and your first kind of venture in technology, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Your background's in film?
Yeah.
And so when was your company created?
It was created August of 2015.
And when did you become interested in tech?
A couple months before that, April 2015, I came up with the idea, and it just, I was literally driving home from work, and it like popped up in my head, and I was like, I have to do this. It was one of those just like lightning moments. Maybe subconsciously had been like mulling it over, but like in that moment, I remember getting on the freeway and I was like, oh my God, I have an idea. I have to do this.
And like, how do you even go about building an app when you know zero about tech?
It was a lot of research. Honestly, like, I read everything I could from that time of April to August, just trying to prepare myself as best I could. Obviously, there's things you're not going to foresee. There's going to be pitfalls and stuff like that. But just reading and talking to people, and a friend of mine has his own app company. So when I really couldn't find the answer, I would literally call him and be like, please help. You have to kind of dig and find that information for yourself.
Where did you find what to read even?
It was a lot of Googling and then like Facebook groups. And
one resource that you were mentioning before is you found a Facebook group called Ms. Tech, M-S-T-E-C-H. Can you tell me a little bit about Ms. Tech?
It's a female entrepreneur tech group. It's just really great. You can post questions there and kind of get some feedback from people. Some people just post questions like, hey, I'm, you know, deciding between these two designs. Can somebody, you know, give me some, you know, input, or, you know, where can I find this or that? And it's just a really great community to, you know, find out stuff.
And you still have like a 60-hour a week job.
Yeah.
So you're building an app on the side of having a job.
Yeah.
Can you give everybody listening like an idea of how to make that work?
Sometimes it's really difficult. This week has been a little bit rough at work because we had a lot going on. But you just have to find the time. Like, honestly, sometimes I go home from that job and I will put something on the TV just to feel like I'm somewhat relaxing and then continue working. I mean, there's a lot of weekends that I'm at conventions. Like, next weekend I'm going to be at a convention. It's 3 days long. I have a friend luckily covering Friday for me because I have to be at a 60-hour week job, but I'll be there all weekend. So basically I'll be working, you know, 2 weeks straight.
And how did you go about taking action to develop the app? I mean, it just seems so crazy to me that and it's so inspiring to go from like literally knowing nothing, not knowing anyone in the tech field, not knowing how to code, not knowing anything about building an app, to like having an app with, you were mentioning offline, the first year you got 10,000 installs, and now in just the last month you got 1,000 more. So obviously you're accelerating like crazy. The press has been picking you up. Like, I mean, talk a little bit about the press that you've been getting.
We had an article that I really loved getting was on Amy Poehler's Smart Girls. And then we actually had another one that was on Daily Dot. Do you remember when MySpace, when you'd get like friend, your first friend request would be that guy Tom, I think his name was.
Yeah, what's MySpace?
Just kidding. What's MySpace? That's a good question for people like probably born before 2000. But so the app does that. It will like automatically friend to my account.
Oh, cool.
And so it will beep when you got a new friend. And after the Daily Dot article came out, I woke up at my phone was like beep, 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 beep.
Oh,
like
so
all
rad.
Day long. It was crazy. So that article was amazing for us, as well as the Amy Poehler Smart Girls. And yeah, I mean, a lot of people have just been really supportive and given us shout outs and doing what they can.
So how did you go about taking action to develop the app?
So what I originally did was, like I said, my friend has his own app company. So I asked him, and no offense to him, but his, you know, he's progressed in the world, so he's kind of expensive. So I had to figure out
another way to do it. I don't think that's offensive. I think it's just a matter of fact. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like props to him. Congratulations. Yeah, but now I can't afford you.
Yeah. So, you know, he's doing very well for himself. I was like, I can't afford that. So I originally did an Indiegogo. I don't know if you knew this, but I didn't really know how to do an Indiegogo either. And I didn't.
And Indiegogo is a crowdfunding site like Kickstarter. Yeah. It's one of those.
The big difference between that and Kickstarter is Kickstarter, like if you don't hit your goal, you don't get anything. Indiegogo, you can choose to still get percentage or a part of it. So I did Indiegogo, and I didn't really say everything the app was going to be because I was kind of afraid somebody was just going to run off with it. Because I was like, well, there's somebody who probably has that money that's just going to go build it. So it didn't do very well. I only raised, I think it was like under $2,000. It was like peanuts for building tech.
Right. How much did you think it would raise?
I think my original goal was something like $15,000 or something like that.
And how much work correctly. Did you put into it?
It was like a 40-day long campaign. Like that was like literally a heart attack for me every day in those 40 days. So just trying to promote it, trying to get bloggers to write about it, trying to get everybody I could talking about it. But it's really hard when you go from, like you said, nothing to suddenly like, oh, I'm going to run a tech company.
Yeah,
you know, like
totally.
A lot of people are like, kid. I had several people being like, this is not going to work. You don't know how to code. But in my heart of hearts, I was like, well, I got to at least try. So the Indiegogo campaign, like I said, didn't do well. So at the end of the time, I was like, but I still have to do it. So I wound up building it with a template. So, and that's actually the current version that's out now, though I've tinkered with it and it looks miles better than it first did when it first came
out.
What's
that mean for people that don't understand the resource of using a template?
So template, the way I usually explain it to people is it's like Lego bricks. So you're given certain tools.
You signed up for a service.
Yeah, it's a monthly service I pay into. And
can you say the name of the company you
sure,
use?
Sure, it's called Shoutem. So it's Shoutem. I think they have an office in New York and then also one in Croatia. There we go.
Oh, I love Croatia.
A lot of people in tech are in Croatia.
I love Croatia.
I've never been there, but I know a lot of people in tech are over there. It's like Lego bricks, you know, which is great when you don't know what you're doing. Because then you can kind of easily kind of figure out your template and choose what you want and I just did it that way because, like, it was a manageable monthly
right.
fee for me to pay.
Right.
And it was also it was kind of showing that people, that I did it, you know.
Totally. You were able to take action.
It could work.
Yeah. You were able to take action and then have a way to have a proof of concept that people want this.
Yeah. Because a lot of people were like, oh, what are you going to have on there? Just Comic-Con? And I was like, no, man. There's a lot more than just Comic-Con. So I just, you know, I felt that I had to.
And the Indiegogo not reaching the goal and your expectations, you know, that's really difficult to swallow. How do you overcome challenges?
It was really difficult. Like I said, especially when you have people being like, well, you can't code. This is not going to work. I don't understand how you're going to run a tech company. I mean, my family, my uncle, he has the same kind of thing as, like, if you tell me I can't do it, I'll do it anyway.
Totally.
Like, somebody told him how difficult it was to get a credit card, so he got a credit card under his dog's name.
No, he didn't.
He did, just to prove that you could get a credit card for anyone.
That's incredible.
So I kind of have that personality.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Which probably helps.
That's awesome. Do you have any mentors? You talked about your uncle, right? Do you have any mentors in this journey that you're going through?
In tech? I mean, like I said, my friend Brendan is really great for helping out. Dana at Pinsight that we know is really great. My friend Jill, who I met before I even started the app, I had worked with her on a TV show, and then she helped me get a new job on the TV show that actually I was on while I came up with the idea for the app. And she was one of the first people. I literally walked into her office and I was like, so I have this idea.
Yeah.
And I was like, please tell me if it's crazy and I'll just like let it, you know, right. Like I'll try to let it go. And she was like, no, this is good. And she is one of the best people that's encouraged me. She's the person that I would go over with my pitch deck or the new version of the app. And I'd be like, can you look over this and make sure it's not confusing or that I spelled something right or whatever. She's just like the greatest bounce board for me. And even now, like I sent her something this week and I was just like, so I'm working on this. Tell me what you think. You know,
totally. And you mentioned Pinsight Media. Who are they?
So they're primarily an advertising company, but I'm working with them on their rollout program. So which is going to be the second generation of the app, which I'm very, very excited for.
So no more Legos, you no building Legos on your own. Soon. You're having a professional team build it out now.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, Chatham was really great for getting started and showing kind of like the proof of concept, showing that people wanted it. But the problem is, like, for me to kind of keep adding cities, I need a more industrial-sized product.
Right.
You know, like I said, we have 35 right now. But I've had requests from people from Thailand to Bermuda to Norway to I had one another crazy location where we got a lot of Australia.
What's the best lesson you've learned about yourself in pursuing your dreams?
I like to push forward. I really like to accomplish what I set out to do. I don't usually back away too much.
Yeah.
Because I don't have an investor. I bootstrapped the whole thing. That I could have been like, well, I could have gone on vacation with that money or whatever. But I'm like, no, I need to do this. I need to do this at the end of the day. So I'm very driven.
I made the same sacrifice with Weird LA Tech. I remember it was August 2014, and I was like, do I go backpacking now, or do I see what happens building Weird LA Tech? Weird LA Tech, for you guys that don't know, unifies the LA Tech ecosystem. And at the time, it was just a podcast. If you want to check out that podcast, it's just Weird LA Tech without spaces. But yeah, I made the same decision because I love backpacking. In 2013, I traveled to 14 different countries in Europe, meeting with startups in all the countries, like tech companies like SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. It was so exciting. And so I was like, what do I do? What do I do? And my friend Mark actually said, well, will you regret it if you don't see what happens? And I'm like, I think I will. So I went down that route, and now it's 2 years later.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I would have regretted it if I didn't at least try, or if I had stopped with, you know, not even researching anything, or if I had stopped with the failed Indiegogo. There were so many times that I could have been like, well, I gave it a shot. But I was just like, whatever, I can keep going, you know?
Totally. I mean, I admire you for pushing past the Indiegogo, because that is just a huge heartbreak. Like, I know how much work. People don't understand that those crowdfunding campaigns, both successful and the ones that don't meet your expectations like Michelle's did, all of them take an enormous amount of work and PR. And it's just like, it's a full-time, it's more than a full-time job. And so to go through that whole process and then not even be able to meet your goal is just like, and so that you push past that and you are where you are today with like your installs, like climbing the charts like crazy and all this awesome press. It just says a lot about who you are and what's possible.
Oh, thank you. And yeah, like Indiegogo's, especially when they don't do well, it like takes a toll on you, like mentally, like feel it. It's, I mean, it's great that these sites are around like Indiegogo and Kickstarter, but when it doesn't work out, you kind of feel like people don't like your idea enough
or
don't want to invest in it. And I understand, like, not everybody has money to invest. Like, I get that. But, like, at the same time, like, in your heart, you feel like, well, it's not good enough or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But that's, like I said, when you got to pick up and you're like, well, I got to figure out some other way to do it then.
Yeah. And, like, what about it? And I know this is something I've challenged myself with, too. What about nerd out when the Indiegogo didn't work that – you know, because you could think that what you just said, that like people don't really like it or it's not for them. So how did you find that confidence to be like, no, I know that this is great and I know that people want it? Where did you find that confidence?
Every time I talked to somebody who is in the nerd community and I was like, well, wouldn't that be awesome if you found out about all this stuff? They loved it. You know, like I said, there are some people who like were dismissive about it. But a lot of the Joe Schmo kind of people, like right. the everyday person, the, you know, the traditional people, like, they love it. I mean, the fact that I've had people who – I had a girl come up to me at Comic-Con and tell me how it helped her friend, you know, make new friends when she moved.
That's amazing.
I had somebody who – she told me her brother had moved to live with his parents and I believe in, like, Seattle or Portland. And I didn't have any friends, was actually becoming depressed and used the app to find a weekly gaming group.
Yeah.
You know, like – so the fact that it does that for people, like, that just floors me. I think a lot of people just think it's like, oh, it's just an event app. It's just to have fun. Which, yes, go and have fun. Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
But it's beyond that that really, you know.
Totally.
It is what means it to me.
Totally. Totally. What's next for you?
Working on the second generation of the app. Honestly, that's I am so thrilled about that. Just because, like I said, it's going to be an easier system for me to deal with. And I'm happy we'll be adding more United States locations, more in England, in the UK in general, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. And then beyond that, we're going to figure out where – because I want to, you know, offer it in localized languages. So we'll expand – we'll go to the English-speaking countries and then we'll expand from there.
So, so cool. And what resource do you recommend to get involved in the tech space? I know you were talking about Ms. Tech Facebook group. Mm-hmm. Is there another resource you recommend that really helped you accelerate?
I'm trying to think of,
or that helps you today.
The best one was We Are LA Tech. Aww, I mean, that's the reason
that's
I have
so
my
sweet.
I'm talking to Pinsight, so
that's so rad. Your hobby, what is your hobby?
I like to paint. That's
what,
like,
do you paint? That's awesome.
I don't know how much of a nerd you are, but Doctor Who, there was an episode that they go and, because it's time travel, so they go and see Van Gogh and he paints this thing called the exploding TARDIS.
TARDIS
is how they get around. I painted that, and it looks like Van Gogh's Starry Night.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's my, like, when I want to, like, chill out, I, like, turn off everything and for, like, 4 hours bring out my oil paints and just – that's all I'm doing.
Wait, can you send us a picture of that?
Yes.
Like, can that be this episode's cover art?
Sure.
That would be so cool.
I just finished it, so good timing.
That would be awesome. How can people stay in touch with you?
They can find us on nerdoutapp.com or on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook under nerdoutapp.
And would they, everybody listening right now, would they be able to connect with you personally if they reach out to those channels?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So reach out to Michelle. She's amazing. Thank you so much for spending time with the Women in Tech podcast. I have absolutely loved being a part of your journey. I'm so grateful that you've been impacted by my journey as well. And
thank you.
We've been trying to make this podcast happen for a while. But, you know, I think this was the perfect time.
Well, yeah. And I live – for people who aren't in Los Angeles, like, if I'm in Burbank, which is, like, the northeastern side of Los Angeles, and you're on the western,
like,
side.
Like, pretty much no one's in Burbank. Just kidding.
It's like you're on opposite sides of the world.
Yeah, it's true.
So it was a little – yeah, it was a little finagling. But, no, I think it was good timing.
Well, thank you so much. And, yeah, so –
yeah, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for being on the Women in Tech podcast. This has been such a cool experience. I look forward to introducing you to the next amazing Women in Tech on the next episode. Bye, guys.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.